In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have the patent on this procedure. You can only get this product from our company. You can only see this on NBC. These are the kinds of things that we hear all the time, and basically what they're saying is that there is something exclusive about what we have. You can't get it anywhere else. Nobody else has this. You are exclusive if you get this product. Ooh, we like that. It kind of says, I'm special. I got it exclusively. Now that seems commonplace to the kind of commercial stuff that we see nowadays, and it is, but you wouldn't think that kind of exclusiveness would show up in the church, would you? Or would you? It showed up in the Old Testament, in our Old Testament lesson for today. Moses, the people were complaining. Moses said, hey, he takes the Lord on. He says, hey, I didn't conceive all these people. I didn't give birth to them. Why should I have to carry them like a nurse with a sucking child? They're sucking me dry. I can't carry them. And he goes on to say, if you have any care for me at all, if you think anything of me at all, Lord, just kill me, because I can't carry him. And the Lord said, all right, I can see the point here. I'll appoint 70 people. Take a portion of your spirit, give your spirit to them, and then they'll help you take care of the people. Okay, good. So they did that. But there were two guys, Eldad and Medad, that they signed up for the course, but they didn't go in the tent. And so then they were out, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they were out prophesying. Now, prophesying usually meant that they were proclaiming out loud God's grace and glory. Maybe they were singing with it and so forth, prophesying. And Joshua got word, and he comes up to Moses. He said, Medad and Eldad, they're out there prophesying, but they weren't in the tent with us. You got to stop them. And Moses is like, let that be my problem, that I got too many people who want to praise God and prophesy. Let them go. I need all I can get to carry this bunch. In the gospel lesson for today, it's the same story. The disciples are out, and they are casting out demons in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. They're having a little problem with this one, though, and they came back and said, hey, how come that's not working, Jesus? Well, this takes special kind of prayer. But then they ran into a guy, and they said, hey, there's this guy, and he's casting out demons. But you got to stop him because he's not following us. And, you know, it's kind of exclusive. It's just, you know, we have this, nobody else. He's not following us. Did you catch that? It's not that he wasn't doing a good job. It's not that these people weren't deserving. It's not that he wasn't successful. He's not following us. He's not part of our deal. Oh, okay. You can kind of hear that today. It's a lot more subtle, but within the Christian church, there's so many denominations. And on my good days, I believe that there are so many denominations because each one believes that their particular understanding makes the best use of Christ's death and resurrection that can be. And it's better than somebody else's understanding. That's on my good days. On my bad days, I think it's just plain old ecclesiastical one-upsmanship. We got the corner on the market of the true word of God, and you don't. We're good, you're not. We're right, you're wrong. People love to be right. And on my regular days, I think it's probably a combination of those two things, the positive and the negative. But you can kind of still tell, you know, last week we looked at names of churches, First Lutheran, First Presbyterian, First Baptist, First Christian. What does that mean? That you arrived, got in town first, or that you're better than? What does that mean? Or here's one that I've wondered about. In Muncie, there is a church, and I know the pastor, and he's a good fellow, but the name of the church has always intrigued me. I've always been going to ask, but I didn't want to offend him. But the church is called Full Gospel Temple. Those of you from Muncie, you know. Full Gospel Temple. And I'm always tempted to ask, Full Gospel, what does that mean? That the rest of us have the partial gospel? The take what you want and leave the rest gospel? The pick and choose gospel? What is that saying? I don't know. Or other phrases. We believe in full immersion. Oh, well, where does that leave us sprinklers? Out in the cold? Or, you know what? We believe in all the gifts of the Spirit, which is a thinly veiled thing to say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're kind of a sub-Christian. you know, we believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, okay, good. So there's still this kind of exclusiveness. You know, we got it and you don't. That's still going on there. Here's an example. This one's on me. I talked to a guy. He had been in drug alcohol treatment many years ago. He was always interested in, had struggled with the religion / spirituality part of the recovery. He was always very interested in religion. And then years later, I ran into him and he said, well, I'm still sober and I've got a ministry. It's kind of a street storefront ministry, and I'm also doing some work with prisoners in the prison system. And I said, well, good for you. And then afterwards, I thought to myself, I wonder where he went to seminary. You know, is this guy certified? Was he ordained or what, you know, what happened? And then I thought, what do I care whether he's certified or whether he's ordained? He's taking care of a segment of the population that needs God's grace, and he's doing it, and he's doing a good job. What do I care about? But you see how easy it is to get into that exclusiveness. Ooh, we got it, and you don't. It's very easy to do that. Then the gospel shifts, and it looks like this doesn't match up with anything else that Jesus has been talking about, and it goes into what I call the Jesus of Nazareth horror show. And that's the part where he says, if you offend one of these little ones, children, this is like our third Sunday in a row where Jesus is holding children up. If you offend one of these little ones, you'd be better off to just hang a big old huge rock, a millstone around your neck, and get thrown into the sea and drown. Okay? Then he goes on to say, oh, and by the way, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. You're better to go to heaven with one hand than to go to hell with two. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. You're better off gimping into heaven than sashaying into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Better to see with one eye in heaven than two eyes in hell. Wow. And you know, at this point, I'm kind of saying to myself, well, you know, maybe there's some other body parts we should think about lopping off if they cause you to stumble. I was thinking about the brain, Dick. That's where you were going to? Okay. Yeah, I believe you. Nobody else does, but I believe you, Dick. And all of this, you know, and if we were real biblical literalists, you know, we'd be the halt, the lame, and the blind, the only ones going to heaven. What does that all have to do with anything? And children? Well, this is what brings this whole thing together. Being exclusive means we're going to be hindering the work of God's Spirit in our area. If there are other congregations doing good work, support them. I don't care if they're your brand or not, especially if they're Lutherans. Another congregation, that would be even better. If there are people who are doing good work in our community, you know, whether they're following us or not, help them out. Do something to help them. Little children. Jesus knew, and we know now, that little children have to go by faith and trust because the prefrontal cortex of their brain is not fully developed till they're like 20 or 21. That's why teenagers do dumb stuff. And so little children, they have to go by faith and trust. That's all they got. And they can be very, very easily damaged irreparably. If you wreck that trust and that faith, you can hurt a kid forever. And Jesus said, if you do that, hang a big stone around your neck and jump in the sea, because these children are important and they come to faith easily. They get destroyed easily. And, you know, the part about all the lopped off body parts, what that's really saying is, if there is something that you have that is preventing you from taking in God's grace, that is hurting your faith in Christ, you got to dump it. You got to get rid of it, whatever it is. I don't know, materialism, or maybe it's just character defects, selfishness, dishonesty, false pride, phoniness, procrastinating, self-pity, oversensitivity, fears, envy, jealousy, greed, lust, you know, whatever it is, you got to throw that out. What brings this text together is to say, anything, for young or old, anything that inhibits the work of God's Spirit in your community and in your people you know, anything that inhibits the work of the Spirit to instill faith and to grow and develop faith, you got to get rid of. We want to be a community that is not exclusive. Exclusive looks like this. And we want to be a community that looks like this. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.